So going back to the text message here, regardless of what I eat or how much, I always end up with a bloated and hard belly. No one can tell me why. Your thoughts on this, Keith?
A lot of people who will go and see a specific type of practitioner will do a specific type of gut test, and that's usually based on antibodies or some laboratory person sitting over a stool sample and trying to look for anything that might be causing problems. I've always used a DNA assessment, and it's a relatively new technique. It's been around for about 5 or 6 years, and it's totally surpassed what is being done from just that perspective of someone looking over, because it runs a DNA profile and it will show levels of beneficial bacteria. It will show me if there's inflammation, if there's fungus, parasites, bacteria, chemistries of what's actually coming out in the stool, fats, that kind of thing, if you cholesterol, and also if you're having reactions to gluten, the level of mucosal barrier in the gut. If you do a test like this, it is going to show you a very good step in the right direction what to do with this. And I think I've dealt with probably 100 clients just on the lab testing and things, and found very distinct problems going on, and seen some amazing results of people who've been bloated for years, who've felt really rubbish. So get this specific DNA test done, because that's where you're going to find out. There are other things. There might be certain foods you're having reactions to. You might have a leaky gut. You may also have thyroid and adrenal problems, which are shutting the gut down. So, but 9 times out of 10, I find there's a particular overgrowth of a fungus, a parasite, or a bacteria.
How do you form a parasite or get a parasite in your gut?
Food, water, partners, pets, literally anywhere. And it depends on your level of immune system function and how it's functioning. A lot of people's immune system is suppressed these days, and it's working overboard because of all the plethora of things that they're being bombarded with. So if you get the specific test, you will find out. You could go on a specific diet, you can be given specific supplements, and you can get rid of this condition.
And here as well, regarding, hang on, here we go, gas, it's a similar one. I get a lot of gas after drinking milk or eating hummus. Does that mean I'm not digesting my food properly?
Okay, so we might have an issue with dairy, like we talked about with a leaky gut. If the microvilli are damaged in the intestine and they don't produce lactase, which break down lactose, that can be a problem. Also, if there is a leaky gut and there is undigested milk proteins going into the blood, we will have reactions. Hummus is a bean or a legume. And problem is, with a lot of these, if they're not been soaked overnight, that the actual grains, they're very difficult to digest, and we find it really hard to digest beans and bean proteins. So I would say, if you're going to make your own, soak the hummus or the beans a little bit longer, and then see how you react to it. But if you have compromised digestion, you're not producing enough hydrochloric acid, you're not triggering the digestive enzyme cascade, you'll probably find it's really hard to digest foods like this.
And someone's asking about juicing and the benefits of juicing. He was watching a demonstration recently. I was too, actually, at Taste of Dubai. Broccoli, courgettes. Is it a good option as opposed to cooking with respect to digestion? What to use this to as to lose weight? So is juicing a good idea for weight loss?
Well, some people will do really well with juice, but we talked, if there are specific hormonal problems, eating raw broccoli and raw green vegetables might not be beneficial. And this is a big thing I've found with clients, where when I say stop eating certain raw green vegetables, stop eating nuts, stop doing cardiovascular exercise, the one thing that I see with nearly all of my clients who are willing to do a bit of work and investigative time is that they will lose weight when you follow these principles. There is often a lot more to that. Get your temperature assessed. Do you feel cold? There's lots of individual sectors that need to be looked at before you come. But the thing is, if it's not working for you, try it. If it doesn't work, you need to find something else.
And then here regarding hyperthyroidism. So I was recently diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. Is swimming okay for me? Because when I'm swimming, I get out of breath quite easily.
Okay, I mean, the out of breath, is it related to breathing pattern again? With hyperthyroidism, don't do lots of long bouts of cardiovascular exercise. Do some short burst stuff. Keep it relatively simple. But the one thing is, if you're hyperthyroid, doing long bouts of cardiovascular exercise will be detrimental to you.
Mm. You wouldn't think swimming would be cardiovascular.
Well, it is cardiovascular. Mm. It depends how long you're doing, right? Mm. I mean, if you're doing over 5 minutes, I mean, I'm training my cardiovascular system now just sitting here, obviously living. Mm. So it depends how much that you do of that. But everybody needs a bit of exercise. Get moving. Don't stand stand still with it. So I don't want people to say stop exercising, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that go and see someone who knows about this and how to get somebody out of this.
And here, do you active isolated stretching? Is this something you do?
Stretching, like I said, stretching for some people can be great. Some people, it can take months. Some people can have the opposite effect. Soft tissue manipulative therapy like neuromuscular therapy, active release techniques will release tissues that have taken years to harden up. And once you release these tissues, you will find that you can get things. You can rotate your neck like an owl after literally half an hour of moving. I think you've experienced that before, haven't you?
Yes.
The changes that,
it's incredible,
that you can see with soft tissue work. Stretching can be benefit afterwards. Mobilizing the nerves. If you release the nerves off without stretching them, just by moving them, sometimes you don't even need to stretch.
And we are three brothers. After the age of 30, we started to snore while sleeping. Is this a family problem, or could it be our diet, and how to prevent it?
I have no idea on the structure of this person. I don't know how they're breathing. I don't know what kind of weight they are. And I don't know what kind of a diet they're eating. But it might be a genetic thing, possibly, that we carry over. But think about genes, as like we've talked about before. We have a gene capacity, but it's the environment that triggers some things off. So find someone who knows about breathing patterns. Find someone who knows if they can release these breathing patterns. And you know, if we look at things like weight, we might be able to say, is it causing an issue like a sleep apnea or something like that?
And somebody here who has thyroid cancer and asking about diet and advice on diet for thyroid cancer.
Okay, again, I'm not too sure how much of what stage of cancer they're in. You would want to have a diet that supports the thyroid. Not too many green vegetables. If you do need things like broccoli and spinach in your diet, it needs to be really well cooked, as does cauliflower. Removing mustard and beans as well. A lot of green vegetables, and start implementing food choices that are going to boost metabolism. Even caffeine can be responsible for boosting metabolism. But again, because someone has cancer at the moment, they may have had the thyroid removed, they may be on thyroid medication, they may need to see someone who really knows how the thyroid works. And even you need to speak with an endocrinologist on this one as well, because cancer is a very serious subject. And although we approach it with nutrition, there are other aspects as well.
And my father's 90 and, according to doctors, doing very well, but he mentioned his stool being really dark. Is this something to be alarmed by?
There are a couple of things with this. Sometimes when we are not digesting our food that well, and we have also cholesterol balance is not in check, we have something called bilirubin, which goes into the stool, and that can cause a darker stool. Also as well, if there is any blood in the stool, that's, it can go quite dark if there's any kind of blood coming out from the colon. So you might want to see a gastrointestinal specialist to confirm whether there is actually any blood coming out in the stool, or have a gut test to confirm the presence of blood cells.
And finally, I'm an average guy and I feel that I have issues with my health and nutrition. How do I make an appointment, and what are the costs going to be? I don't eat very much, but I only eat what's cooked at home, Eastern food, and the list goes on. So for people to get hold of you, Keith, either to make an appointment or to find out more about what you do, your contact details.
I am based at Optimal Fitness in Studio City. My mobile number is 055-661-3061. There's also a lot of information on my Facebook page, which is Balance Body Mind. I see people on an individual basis. I'm also running a weight loss and health clinic starting in May for 6 weeks, where people who might not have the funds to come and see me on a one-to-one basis can come along as a group of people and watch everything unfold over a six-week period, which I think is going to be really interesting.
And I will also put Keith's Facebook link up on our website on the Dubai Today page on my blog. Check out what I'm having for lunch, check out how I get on with that lunch and how I feel in a couple of hours time. So for now, Keith Littlewood, thank you so much. Look forward to catching up with you next time.
Always a pleasure.